Welcome to the Tuesday, December 24th edition, the Christmas Eve edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. Told you guys I'd be doing the podcast all week, and I didn't lie. I'll also be doing one tomorrow on Christmas. It'll be a short one tomorrow, though. Definitely going to be busy opening presents. I can't wait. There's a lot of presents under the tree. We have a big house, so there's a lot of people here that want to open their presents, and I'll be one of them. I'm excited to see what I get. Hopefully some video games and maybe some sporting equipment or something like that. But I'm excited, guys. I know you guys are going to have a great Christmas as well. I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow morning. But wanted to get the podcast out of the way today. There's a lot to talk about as far as news goes. And I got to mention, at 11 a.m., so about 50 minutes from now, Cole Shelton's going to be joining me. We'll be doing the 2019 MMA Awards, breaking down all the different categories, giving our awards. We're each going to have a different pick. There'll be no unanimous decisions today. It will be split decisions. A lot of the podcasts I've been hearing, same picks, kind of gets boring. So me and Cole are going to pick different stuff. I like going off the grid when it comes to this stuff, but some of the categories, it's kind of hard to. But for the ones that I can have some choice, I will. So I'm excited to do that. It's about 50 minutes. But for now, I want to talk about the news. And there is actually quite a bit of news to talk about, even though it's Christmas, basically. Let's start with Petr Yan. So Cole actually interviewed Petr Yan. And Petr Yan says that Henry Cejudo is ducking him. He believes that Henry Cejudo thinks that Petr Yan's a bad matchup for him and doesn't want to fight, and he wants to fight Aldo instead. He believes that if the UFC gives Henry Cejudo meets his demands and gives him Jose Aldo, that it's going to be bad for the sport. He believes that Cejudo likens a sport. He's likening Cejudo to like a circus. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And you know what? Honestly, he's not really wrong. Like, he says it's bad for the UFC. It'd be bad for the belt, bad for the sport if they gave Aldo the title shot. He's not wrong. Listen, I understand why Cejudo wants to play Aldo. He is a big name. He's a former champion. He's a legend. And I respect Jose Aldo. I thought he beat Marlon Moraes. But I really think you have to respect wins and losses. And I think you have to respect the fact Petr Yan is undefeated in the UFC, and he's coming off an insane win over Uriah Faber. It was a much more impressive fight than Aldo against Moraes. Even if Aldo got that nod by split decision, what Yan did was so much more impressive. Having said that, if Aldo did get the split decision, and again, I thought he won the fight, but it was close. I thought he won, though. If he had got it, I can understand why the UFC would be giving it to him. But the fact that Aldo's won lost two straight fights to Volkanovski and Moraes now, it's really hard to justify giving him the title shot on Petr Yan. I have talked about this in the last the last week or so since the card happened, that I really believe Yan should get the title shot, and nothing's changed since then. Again, I understand the UFC's all about making money. I know Cejudo doesn't really believe he has a ton of time left in MMA and wants to make as much money as possible. But honestly, I feel like most fans would rather see Petr Yan fight Henry Cejudo. I think most people believe that's a tougher matchup for Cejudo. I believe more people are excited about that matchup. Maybe casual fans would know Aldo's name more. But honestly, Aldo's not like that big of a draw. He never has been. Don't get me wrong. He's a legend. He's a bigger name than Petr Yan. More people know who Jose Aldo is. But he's not like a super like pay-per-view draw. He never has been. So to me, yeah, there would probably be more pay-per-views bought if Aldo did fight Cejudo just because of the name, but I don't think it's as many as Cejudo thinks, and I don't think it's as many as the UFC thinks either. So if you ask me, Petr Yan is 100% right if everything he said, all of his criticisms of Henry Cejudo are correct, and I believe Petr Yan should be fighting Henry Cejudo next. So we'll see what happens there, but I think that fight makes just total sense, and honestly, I would favor Petr Yan. I know Nick actually came out with his line, or he was thinking about it, and he said he would probably open Petr Yan as a favorite if that fight happens. So Nick's right in line with what I'm thinking. I'm just so impressed with the way Petr Yan performing against Uriah Faber. And Petr Yan's actually talked about that fight since, and he says that he could have performed even better, which is scary because he looked incredible in that fight. All right, let's go to some other news here. Davison Figueiredo, he's going to be fighting Joseph Benavidez. He says he plans on killing Joseph Benavidez when they meet at UFC Norfolk for the UFC flyweight title. I love this matchup. Most people are going to be picking Joseph Benavidez, but guys, don't sleep on Davison Figueiredo. This guy is extremely dangerous. He's a very good fighter. If he's cleaned up his takedown defense, he's going to be a nightmare matchup for Joseph Benavidez, because on the feet, this guy has more power than Joseph, in my opinion, and I think that his striking is a little bit more dangerous at this point. He's also a little bit younger, too, so don't sleep on Davison Figueiredo. Joseph Benavidez is a great fighter, one of the most underrated fighters in UFC history, don't get me wrong, but Davison Figueiredo is, I think, a bad matchup for him. We'll see what happens there. That's another line. I'm curious to see how the oddsmakers line it. I would assume Benavidez will be a sizable favorite in that fight, like at least 2-1, if not a little bit more. But I think Figueiredo is actually kind of a bad matchup for him. Corey Sandhagen, the disappointment continues for this guy. He will be removed from UFC Raleigh. He announced it himself. to MMA DNA. So that's really disappointing. Frankie Edgar obviously is not going to be able to fight in that card after getting knocked out by the Korean Zombie. And I've talked those last few weeks, just a terrible idea by the UFC to take Frankie out of that fight with Corey, put him against Korean Zombie in a fight that he was never going to win, in a fight where he was likely destined to take damage, win or lose. And now Corey Sandhagen is without an opponent. Corey says he wants to get back in the cage in March or April. He wants to fight either Marlon Moraes or Dominic Cruz, which I think both those fights make a lot of sense. Cruz hasn't fought since 2016, though, so there's no telling if he'll be back in time for March or April. But I think Marlon Moraes against Corey Sandhagen, that's a great fight. Great call-up by Corey. Marlon's in a weird spot right now where he's already lost to Henry Cejudo just last year. So actually, it was this year, back in June in Chicago. So he's in a bad situation right now where, he did beat Aldo, but a lot of people thought he lost the fight. And at this point, he's not anywhere close to getting a title shot, even though he technically is ranked number one. So if Marlon wants to get back in the title picture, he needs to beat a guy like Corey Sandhagen. If he goes out there and beats Corey Sandhagen, it'd be hard to deny Marlon Moraes another shot of the title. So, and for Corey Sandhagen, if he goes and beats Marlon Moraes, he should get a title shot himself. So this is a fight that makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. Again, it's too bad that Frankie couldn't fight him, because I think that would have been a good test for both guys at 135. But with Frankie getting hurt and Corey moving on, I think Corey versus Marlon makes a lot of sense. Just sucks that this guy has to wait till March or April to fight now at the earliest. I mean, it could be even later than that. Who knows? Joanna Jędrzejczyk, she was in the news again. She was at UFC 245 as a guest fighter, and she spoke about moving back to 125. She had the one fight there with Valentina Shevchenko just over a year ago. Toronto lost the fight by decision and moved back down to strawweight. Now she'll be fighting Weili Zhang in March for the title. But she says in the future she probably will move back up to flyweight, which is no surprise because she will grow out of her frame at some point. She's a bigger strawweight, as we all know. She's had some problems making weight in the past, like Michelle Waterson fight. We all saw the rumors of that. She ended up making weight and looked good in that fight, but she has had some issues making weight in the past. This makes sense, although I think it's going to be one of those situations where she probably will want to wait to see if Shevchenko loses the belt or moves up to bantamweight, because I just think Shevchenko is a terrible matchup for Yuan, and I'm sure a lot of you guys agree with me on that one. So, there's a lot of fighters she could beat at 125. Like, if she fought Jessica Ai, who I think is, like, one of the top contenders, or Kaitlyn Chookagian, like, she would smoke them, in my opinion. I think she's just a way better fighter. But Shevchenko is just such a dangerous opponent. So, yeah, I think it just couldn't matter what Valentina does. And if she does move up or loses the belt, then Yuan could slip in and it makes sense there. But for now, I think 115 is a good spot. She fights Weili Zhang in March. Tough fight for her. Tough fight for Zhang, too. Just a really close, dangerous fight for both fighters. Really interested in seeing that one. Once that fight happens, I think we'll have a much better understanding what Joanna's future is in the UFC. Frank Trigg, former, I believe, MMAoddsBreaker.com writer and video interviewer. I don't think Frank's doing anything else for the site at the moment because he's really focusing on his refereeing and judging. And he's doing a great job. You know, Frank has been with MMAOB for years, but I believe that he's in this situation where, like, if he wants to write or do a video interview, he can, but he's just so busy with the refereeing and fighting. So he's still a friend of the website. I don't know if he's on staff right now, in case anyone's wondering, but of course he is one of the longest-serving members of the staff. I mean, Frank's been with MMAOB since I have been, I think, like, maybe a little bit, came a little bit after you, but he's been with us since at least 2012, 2013. So he's been with the site for a long time and did some great interviews. But yes, he's really focused on the refereeing now and MMA judging. Frank obviously had a long career in this sport, fought for the UFC for years, and he is kind of in the Hall of Fame. He had the fight with Matt Hughes that's been put in the Hall of Fame. If you ask him, I think he'll say he's a Hall of Famer. If you ask other people, they'll say that the fight was in the Hall of Fame, but still, that fight with Matt Hughes was recognized as a Hall of Fame fight. It was a great fight. Go back and watch that fight if you guys have. And that is one of the classic fights in MMA. But I did Frank some props here. A fighter in Bellator. His name is escaping me at the moment. I'll pull it out right now. A fighter in Bellator is knocked out on the weekend at Bellator Hawaii. And his name is Nate Yoshimura. He was knocked out in just devastating fashion by Chaz Denhart. This was a rare flyweight bout in Bellator, by the way. You don't see flyweight fights, male flyweight fights in Bellator. But yeah, he was knocked out by an elbow, and Frank jumped in right away and stopped the fight. And what's cool about this is, and you don't see this too often, we usually hear about how bad referees are, and you know, Mark Goddard's been in the news for being really inconsistent lately with the Colby Covington stoppage and then the Frankie Edgar stoppage, giving him, you know, every opportunity to escape, but Colby stopped it right away. It was kind of weird. But yeah, Frank Trigg, you know, we don't see a lot of fighters getting praised, referees getting praised by fighters, but Frank Trigg was. And here's, I want to just read the comment because Frank shared it on his Instagram and I thought it was super cool. "Hey, Frank, you ref my fight this past weekend. I wanted to thank you for being a great ref and stopping the fight the way you did. I didn't even realize how crazy the KO was till I watched it back. You definitely saved my brain a lot of damage and I appreciate that. Best wishes and happy holidays to you and your family. Hope to see you in the future. God bless." I thought that was super cool of Nate Yoshimura to share that with Frank Trigg. And Frank wrote back, "Wow, this is the biggest award I've ever received. When a fighter reaches out after a fight, he doesn't remember the KO, but realizes you saved his brain and future. This is why I love what I do. It fuels me to always push to the better, to learn more, and to continue to protect the future of the sport. These kind of things make the whole process worth it." So super cool for Frank to get that that love there. And he deserves it. I mean, Frank has done a really good job as a ref. And I posted this article on BJ Penn about this, and a lot of the comments were, you know, in line with what I'm thinking. Like, it's nice to see former fighters take on roles like this. Like, I know Chris Liebman did as well, but I think with Chris, like, Chris has got a lot of problems outside the cage. I think Frank's in a little bit of a different spot where he doesn't have as, like, many demons outside the cage. And, you know, Chris Liebman, again, great fighter, and at one point in time, like, not a Hall of Famer by any means, but a guy that's in the Hall very good, I think, in the UFC, and was part of many fights. But Chris is taking so much damage in his career. I'm not convinced, like, he's the kind of guy that should be reffing fights. But a guy like Frank Trigg, he did take damage for sure. He's been knocked out a bunch of times himself, but he's still, like, really got his wits about him. And I think that with a guy like Frank, you know, he's a great referee right now. Probably one of the better referees, I think, honestly, at this point. And I know the bar is not too high, but I think Frank's done a really good job. So I want to give Frank some praise here because he deserves it, man. He's done a really good job. And it was super cool to see this. Like, you don't see fighters reach out on social media very often saying, you know, "Great stoppage. Thanks for stopping the fight. You know, I got knocked out." It's usually, "You stopped it too early and you robbed me of the opportunity to win." But in this case, the guy was like, "Yeah, I got knocked out and you stopped me from getting any more punches to the head." So that was cool. All right. I got a bunch of fight notes to talk to you guys about. So let's start with this one. Neil Magny against Li Jingliang. This is going to take place at UFC 248 March, Vegas. Good fight. Neil Magny, he's been around the UFC for a few years now, since 2013. Actually has a really good record, 14-6. So he's got a solid record. He has not fought in over a year, though, since getting knocked out by Santiago Ponzinibbio, which obviously is not a good thing. And speaking of Santiago, he's been bouncing the rankings due to inactivity. And Li Jingliang, the guy that Neil Magny is facing, ironically, is actually taking his spot in the top 15, which he deserves because Li's looked great. He's won 7 of his last 8 fights. He's on a 3-fight win streak. Knocked out Lazio Zaleski de Santos, David Zawada in his last 2 fights. The guy is a killer. And, you know, Neil Magny's a really good fighter, and he's more experienced at a higher level. But I think Li Jingliang probably wins this fight, guys. Like, this guy's really looked good lately, and I do like him in this matchup. So if you have to ask me who I favor Li. Also on that card, it's a rebooking between Beneil Darius and Dracar Close. This fight was supposed to happen a little while ago. It was supposed to happen at UFC 239. It was canceled. Actually, no, sorry. UFC Fight Night Sacramento back in July was canceled. But since then, Darius actually looks really good lately. He's on a 3-fight win streak. Back-to-back wins this year over Drew Dober and Frank Camacho by submission. Also beat Thiago Moises. And Dracar Close, he's on a 3-fight win streak himself over Christos Giagos, Bobby Green, and Lando Vinata. So he's looked pretty damn good lately as well, and definitely has been impressive. So I don't know, a tough one to call. I think Beneil Darius is a more dangerous guy for sure, but Dracar Close is solid. It's a fight to go either way. UFC London gets another fight here. This is a fun one, guys. Danny Roberts, Hot Chocolate, takes on Nicholas Dalby. This is a really fun fight. Love this matchup. Danny Roberts coming off a huge win over Salim Nemadia by knockout. Really surprising win. Bouncing back from back-to-back stoppage losses to Michelle Pereira and Claudio Silva. So he looked great in that fight. And Nicholas Dalby's on a nice little win streak here. Well, he had the no contest in there, but he's 4-0 and 1 no contest over his last 5. So he's looked really good. Coming off a win over Alex Oliveira as an underdog in his return to the UFC. Yeah, it was kind of a questionable win because there was a weird stand-up by the ref, but he still got the nod. So close fight here. Honestly, like, Roberts is the more dangerous guy, but I think Dalby's a little bit more well-rounded. I think I'd have to favor him here, but it's definitely a close one. And UFC Auckland gets a fight here. Zubara Tuhugov against Kevin Aguilar. Another interesting featherweight fight here. Tuhugov, another guy that came off a long layoff. He didn't fight for 3 years. And he came back and had a draw with Lerone Murphy at UFC 242. It was an okay fight. I think he did probably win the fight, but the judges saw it as a draw, and he takes on Kevin Aguilar, who's a pretty solid fighter in his own right. Kevin Aguilar coming off a decision loss to Dan Ige. Before that, he'd beaten Enrique Barzola and Rick Lenn in the UFC. So he's a pretty solid fighter. This was another fight can go the way. I honestly think Kevin Aguilar is a better fighter, but Tugov is a guy that does tend to pull off some close fights and close decisions. So I think Tugov probably gets favored here, but it's definitely a close one. Next up, we have a featherweight bout at UFC Norfolk between TJ Brown and Jordan Griffin. Another interesting fight here. TJ Brown coming off four straight wins, including a submission win in the Contender Series over Dylan Lockhart back in August. So he's making his UFC debut here. He takes on Jordan Griffin, who's on a two-fight losing streak to Chaz Kelly and Dean Ige. He hasn't looked that good, but I still think this guy's actually a pretty solid fighter. So that's another fight going the way. And finally, we got Steven Peterson against Alon Cruz at UFC Norfolk. Steven Ocho Peterson coming off a crazy knockout win over Martin Bravo by spinning back fist. He was losing that fight, but he came back and won to snap a two-fight losing streak, so good for him. And he takes on Alon Cruz, another Contender Series alum who is making his UFC debut here. And Alon Cruz is 6-2 in his career, and he's on a three-fight win streak, including a crazy flying knee knockout over Steven Wynn in his last fight. Peterson does have more experience, but I honestly, like, I've been picking this guy a lot of his fights. He doesn't come through, and then, of course, I pick against him and he wins. But, yeah, I think you kind of got to favor Cruz here just because just a little bit of a fresher fighter, and Peterson's just so inconsistent. So that's as far as fight announcements go. There was a question, though. Kevin Scott sent a question to me the other day, and I want to get to it because I wasn't able to get to it yesterday. So, Kevin, thanks for the question. Hi, Adam. Not sure if this is on your radar or not, but if not, you should check out the Rico Verhoeven Badahari kickboxing fight from earlier today. So this was, like, you know, on Saturday or Sunday. It's on Fight Pass. We're checking out if you have 50 minutes to kill. Even if kickboxing is your thing, if you're not a regular Glory watcher, and I apologize, I just haven't heard you discuss it previously. Two things that they do, they're really interesting. Five judges and open scoring. I wonder if either of those things could help clear up things in MMA in the future at some point. Anyways, enjoy, Kevin. Kevin, I appreciate the questions, man. I love the fact you send me questions by email. I really appreciate it. And you guys can send them to me anytime you want. Adam_Martin13@hotmail.com. Feel free to send a question. I'm always down to answer them on the podcast. I did see the fight. There was an injury to Badahari, and he lost by injury TKO. So that's unfortunate for him because it was a fight that a lot of people were looking forward to, and it was a good fight for while it lasted. But yes, he ended up injuring his leg. So he lost to his rival here, Enrico Verhoeven. And the last two times they fought, he's got injured both the fights. So as far as what Kevin's asking, five judges and open scoring. So I have thoughts on both of them. Five judges is something I've heard about for a long time, and it's something I actually really agree with because it gives, like, there's less margin of error with five judges. Like, if it's a split decision and two judges, like, I'll give you the perfect example would be actually just the fight the other day between Aldo and Marais last week. If there was five judges, I believe that three of them would have scored the fight for Jose Aldo. But with the fact that we saw only three judges, there was less margin of error there was more likely to be an error. And we saw Aldo obviously lose the fight. But I think if there was two other judges, I think you probably would have seen Aldo win the fight by decision. Because if you look at like MMA decisions, most people tended to favor Aldo a little bit there. So I do agree with it. I've heard this before. Joe Rogan's talked about it. Uriah Faber's talked about this. Five judges. And the other thing is, and Dave Meltzer's talked about this, like judges sit beside the cage and they can be really influenced by coaches, by the fans, by Dana White, everything. Dave Meltzer suggested in the past that they sit in like a closed room, a soundproof room. They can't hear that kind of stuff, which I think is really interesting. Not sure if that will happen. I think they probably do end up sitting beside the cage. But, you know, sitting inside the cage, the judges can miss a lot of stuff because when they go in the corners and stuff, it's hard to see. Sometimes you'll see the judge go like this. Like they're trying to see in the corners. It's tough. If you guys have been to a live fight, you know exactly how hard it is to see inside the cage sometimes. Like Dana White sits right beside the octagon. He's looking at the monitor almost the whole time. So I do think there's something in that. But yes, five judges is something I do like. Athletic commissions are kind of cheap. I don't think they're going to hire two extra guys. But in my opinion, it's something worth going for. As far as open scoring goes, you know, this is something that I'm not 100% on. I like just having the mystery of not knowing who the judges are going to have. I like that the anticipation of when Bruce Buffer reads the scorecard. So something that I personally don't love. But at the same time, you know, maybe it would make a close fight more interesting in the later rounds because guys would know if they're down or not. But in my opinion, I think it's more on like coaches and a guy's corner to be more like honest with them. Say, hey, you know what? You're losing this fight. You got to pick it up. You're going to lose the decision here. or like this round was close, but we have to give it to the other guy. Instead of saying like a lot of fights, oh yeah, you're winning this fight, you're up every round, even though we're all watching it together and we know the guy's losing. So great question, Kevin. But yeah, for me personally, five rounds or five judges is something I would like. Open scoring, I'm not sure about. But I'm definitely curious to hear what you guys have to say about that, because it's definitely an interesting question. All right, guys, I'm going to end the podcast right now because I have to get ready for the second one with Cole. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartinPodcast, MMAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, and MMARings.net. You can check me out there as well. And I have an article, MMARings.net, about why the Korean Zombie has jumped into title contention at 145 pounds with the knockout win over Frank Yeager. I'll be back in half an hour with Cole Sheldon to give our 2019 MMA awards. I'm really looking forward to doing that. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning into the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow for a small special Christmas episode of the podcast. But until then, guys, enjoy your Christmas Eve. Enjoy your Christmas morning. Enjoy opening presents. I'll be back tomorrow for a quick little show. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you later, and enjoy your Christmas Eve. Bye.